Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm not reliant on a television show or something to make sure that I get paid. I have a skill that I can do, like I can do stand-up no matter what.
Hello, this is Christoph Triumph. You're listening to Varvet International. I'm so happy to once again deliver one of my interviews from Los Angeles. Some weeks ago, I went to see stand-up comedian Ron Funches at the Improv in Hollywood. He was really funny, and I bragged to my company about having him as my guest in the podcast, but in the car on the way back home, I couldn't find the episode anywhere. Was it all just a dream? Because in fact, I've made that mistake earlier. Some time ago, I saw Patton Oswalt in a store in Hollywood, and I was just about to thank him for last time when I interviewed him, that is. But before I got around to talk to him, I ran through the episodes in my phone, and I realized I never did meet him. Anyway, back home in Sweden, I found the tapes, the recording of the Ron Funches interview. It wasn't a dream after all. It existed and it was done in 2015 when President Obama was still in office. Sweet times. Here it is. Super delayed, yet entertaining, I hope. So let's just roll the tape, shall we? Comedian Ron Funches. I'm so happy that we could make this happen, and I'm sorry for being sort of late.
No, not at all.
What kind of name is Funches?
I have no idea, to be honest with you. I don't know where it comes from. I know a few people who have it besides me.
Yeah?
Yeah, I like it. It's a fun name.
Yeah, it is. It sounds like Munchies in a way.
Yeah, and sounds like a fun snack.
Exactly. I saw you a couple of years ago, not far away from here on Largo, with Sarah Silverman and friends.
Okay, yeah.
And I fell in love with you instantly. You have a pace of your own and a very, very nice tone of voice and comedic voice as well. I guess you hear that all the time, but...
Yeah, a few times. It's what people like about me. It's what I have. I'm not a high energy guy.
No, but you're funny.
Thank you.
That's the most important thing.
I think so. I just try to write fun jokes and then write the things that I like and talk about the things I enjoy.
When it comes to sort of your tone of voice, did anyone inspire you to go about comedy like that? Or
it's kind of just the way I am. And I've never been that loud of a person or that just really that energetic voice. So it's just kind of based off of who I am, and I saw some comedians that helped reinforce that I could do that, because at first I didn't really see any comedians that had that type of tone, but there's people I really like Tig Notaro, and when I was growing up, I really loved Mitch Hedberg a lot, and they always had their own pattern and their own slower tone, and I was like, oh, if they can do it, I can probably do it.
Yeah. I've been dwelling on a quote from Mitch Hedberg a couple of days now, so it's funny that you bring him up, but it's that I used to do drugs bit.
I used to do drugs, I still do, but I used to too.
I was thinking if I could do a cover of it, because I used to do drugs, but I don't anymore. I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
Yeah. It is. Never mind.
But how are you today?
I'm doing really good. I'm happy, feeling good, happy to be home. Just got back from San Francisco, so I'm feeling really good.
Yeah. How long have you been living in LA?
Just had a 3-year anniversary.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just came off the You Made It Weird podcast with you, and that was recorded in 2012. It sounded like you were in divorce. And
yeah.
Are you in a happy place now?
Yeah, I'm feeling much better. I have a nice girlfriend that I really like. Have my own place with my son, and have a nice custody with him and stuff. So it's been, I'm feeling a lot better, a lot less stressed out than I was during that time.
Yeah.
So things are feeling really good right now.
I mean, it was really touching because you were so open about, because it was really new.
Yeah, I mean, that's when I first moved to Los Angeles. That's probably the first week that I was there.
Uh-huh,
so okay. It was very scary for me.
Yeah.
I didn't have any jobs. I didn't have any real money at all. And I didn't really know where I was going to live. So it was a very stressful time. But luckily, I had a lot of friends and a lot of opportunities came up. And now I'm doing pretty well.
I guess you are, yeah.
Yeah.
I try to sort of meditate on my guests, or not physically on them, but thinking about
them.
Well,
that's okay if you ask.
No, but I was thinking about, because I have a booker, and she wrote, what's Ron to promote? He's going to plug Undateable. And I was thinking about the multi-camera thing. Why is that good?
With our show, it's really about, it's more like a play, where it's like a live, where, I mean, and that's what we're doing now. The new season is all live, so it's just, you know, recorded and aired as we shoot it. So when you're doing the single cam, you do a lot of takes over and over to get this side and then the other side. And with the multicam, you usually do just 1 to 2 takes, trying to capture it all as you go. And I think it's just, works well with the stand-ups that we have that are more live performance-based instead of being traditional actors.
Mm.
I think that's what I like about it. And I think it's kind of just of a classic feel. It's classic Lucy or Cheers vibe where you're like, there's just something about having a 3-camera shot where you're like, oh, this is relaxing to me. Like, this is like Thanksgiving, where I'm just sitting home and relaxing. I guess that doesn't work for you because you're Swedish.
But well, yeah, but I understand the reference, though.
I would assume so.
Yeah. Although we don't celebrate Thanksgiving at all. Is that a Christian thing, or yeah, we don't really like God back home? Do you believe in God?
I believe in a lot of things. I believe in a lot of different... I believe in a God, yeah, but not necessarily in a traditional... Not like a traditional Christian sense or anything of that nature. It's more... I like to... I believe in a lot of things. I believe in reincarnation. I like to do a lot of tarot. I believe in a lot of different things.
Sorry, you do what?
Tarot cards.
Uh-huh, okay. All right. Do you do that yourself?
I have, yeah.
Okay.
And I've gone and had readings, yeah.
All right. That's fantastic.
Yeah. I like it.
Why?
I just think it helps reinforces, or if I have some questions that are going on, it kind of clears things up for me. It's helpful in that way.
Do you have a church?
No, not here. Not currently.
Did you used to go to church growing up?
Yeah, a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I grew up in a Catholic school.
Catholic?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you come from Chicago?
Yeah.
What do I need to know about how you grew up?
I mean, Chicago's, it was just kind of a rough city. There's a lot of, you know, even though now there's a lot of gangs, a lot of shootings, things of that nature. And that was never my thing. I'm not into shooting or gangs. So it was kind of like a clash. I don't know. Just never felt like I belonged there. So it was just a little rougher than I was into.
Do you have like a middle class background or?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, my mom was a social worker. She, you know, so she would work in the projects and stuff. And we lived in like a little house that was pretty much just right outside of the project. So like very, very squarely middle class. So, and then, yeah, my mom sent us to a private Catholic school. And that was pretty much it until I moved to Oregon when I was a teenager and lived and started comedy in Portland, Oregon.
Did you grow up without your father?
For half of my time, yeah. Okay. He got back in contact when I was like 12,
all right,
13.
Okay. Who would you say that you were in school?
Just really shy. Just really kind of under the rug, just kind of not really, kind of floating along. Never a jock, but not even really like a class clown or anything. Just kind of making fun of people on my own and kind of just relaxed and shy. Maybe, you know, towards the end was a stoner probably, mm-hmm. but always just kind of shy and relaxed. I love to read.
Okay.
So, but I was reading different books, different Shakespeare, different Molière,
okay,
stuff like that.
You were into that?
Yeah, I mean, it's sure. Yeah, I like it. I mean, I've always been into that type of reading, but I've always been more into like existentialism and just anything that kind of questioned existence I was into.
Where did you get that from? That
I don't interest? Know. This, I think my mom just always raised me to question things. And she was always big into reading. My family was always big into education. A lot of doctors, a lot of doctors and lawyers, things like that.
You dropped out of school, right?
Out of college, yeah. I mean, I made it through high school.
Okay.
I dropped out of college.
What did you try to study?
I didn't know. That's why I left.
Okay.
There was nothing I was interested in. I was only really interested in comedy. And I didn't think you could really get a job in it. So I kind of just floated around. Then I got a job at a grocery store, and then I got a job at a bank.
Yeah, because I sort of asked someone else about this, and we have a Swedish expression, or a word, academy complex, where you feel that you lack knowledge from not studying, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
Are there stuff that you are not good with because you dropped out of school or something?
I don't think so. I don't think there's anything that I am particularly missed out on, except for maybe like shared college experiences of being like, I know about meal plans or things like that. I don't know anything about that. But other than that, I mean, I've always been well read and, I've never had a problem with math or anything of that nature. So I feel like I didn't really miss out on anything. I don't really know that many college people where I'm like, oh, you know way more than me. It's just more like, you know, if you have a passion for something and you want to know something about in that field that college can help you in, then I feel like that's 100% what you should go for. But for me, I was just into comedy and it wasn't going to be a good thing that was going to help. There was nothing positive about going to college for me.
I never even applied to college, I think. But what I feel that I lack the most is just reading the paper.
Mm-hmm.
I so suck at that. but I listen much to talk radio, so I sort of get stuff in anyway. I'm not sure how that works, but yeah. So current affairs sort of is my
weak spot. Well, yeah. No, I've never been into current affairs, but I don't want to be. I don't understand the point of being so knowledgeable about it where it's making me angry and I'm like worried about things every day that I'm not in charge of.
Okay, yeah, I get that. On the other hand, you are in charge since you live in a democracy.
Yeah, I understand that part of it with the vote and yeah. So there's that aspect of it. You could be right.
You said that you just wanted to do comedy. When did you understand that?
I mean, I knew I just loved comedy since I was like 5 years old. So, but I just didn't know it was a job you could do. So, it just took a long time in learning about open mics and stuff and, that you could, and then just really having my son when I was like, oh, I have to figure out what I'm going to do. I have to figure out what my career is going to be. And so I was like, if I feel like comedy is something that I'm called to do, then I need to attempt it now. Or, you know, I'll always regret it.
You became a father at quite a young age.
Yeah, 20.
That's interesting because I wanted to talk to you about that. I was sort of I won't say that I was a mess up, but I sort of, I didn't really have a plan until I became a father. And I heard the Louis C.K. episode of WTF. Mm-hmm. When he talked about him becoming a father, and he was like, well, I'm sort of successful, but now that I'm a father, I have to sort of make a plan because I've got to pay for college and shit. When I became a father, I was like, well, I have to be responsible enough to do something that I like during the day so that I can be a happy person at home.
Yeah.
Was it the same for you?
Yeah, pretty much. It was just knowing that I was going to have to be responsible enough to take care of someone who was fully reliant on me. And then also the same thing, that I was going to have to do something that I could do every day and something that I was willing to start at the bottom of. And comedy was the only thing that I was willing to do that for. So I just looked up stand-up open mics and just really got into it and just hit the ground running as hard as I could. And it still, you know, still took 9 years to really get any type of success. But I'm glad I made that decision.
And your first gig was in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
How is Portland?
It's fun. It's a beautiful place. There's a lot of people who love to read and they're smart. So smart comedy is really liked there. So it was a really good place for me to learn and to grow and be there without having to worry about people seeing my sets and seeing me bomb, you know. So it was really nice. It's a nice place.
So you sort of moved there at the same time as you started comedy?
No, I moved there when I was 13 and went to high school in Oregon. And then just ended up doing comedy there because that's where I was.
In Sweden, we have the show Portlandia, of course. Mm-hmm. Is it a hit here?
Mm-hmm.
Is it like that?
Yeah, pretty much.
So it's sort of a hipster mecca?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But were you a hipster growing up?
Probably. Maybe a little. Yeah, I'll say so. A little nerd reading Molière and by his locker. Probably a little hipster, yeah. I'm going to say so. Sure.
But when you started out, do you remember your first gig?
First paid gig or just
first time you set your foot on a stage?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was at Harvey's Comedy Club in Portland, Oregon. Their open mic that they had in a little side stage. And I just remember that I did 5 minutes of jokes about man boobs and that it didn't go that well, but that I loved it and that it like gave me this high that I never had before. And that I remember that I parked my car like right across the street, but I couldn't find it because I was just in such a daze that I just kept walking around the block going like, I don't know where it is, but I don't care. So it was just like, oh, I found the thing that I want to do for the rest of my life. So it was great.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. Did you get any laughter at all?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely had enough to make me want to keep doing it, you know, because that was my fear, was that I was like, oh, this thing that I think I'm meant to do, what if I'm just horrible at it and I'm not meant to do it, and then I don't know what I want to do at all, ever. So I was just happy that I got enough laughs to keep me going.
Yeah. How much material did you have at that point? Did you have 5 or?
No, I definitely. I probably had like 3. I had 3 minutes of jokes and 2 minutes of just dancing around. not good.
Did you just write that bit for that special occasion? And then?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I was just, because I didn't have anything that I was working off of. It was just like, oh, I'm going to come up with something and then I'm going to write this whole bit around that, you know. And now I just kind of write about whatever is going on in my life and try to make those jokes. So it was really, you know, when I first started, I was like, oh, I'm going to make a pot joke and I'm going to write this type of joke and that type of joke. And, you know, and now I'm just like, oh, I'll just write this. I write jokes and I hope it fits somewhere.
Mm.
So it's been some changes.
Yeah, but when I saw it, I sort of loved that you genuinely felt genuinely like you liked your own material.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Yeah, well, you have to, because you got to say it so many times and change it up a little bit and work on it so much. You have to. That was one of the biggest things when I started, because I knew a lot of comedy that was like, oh, I hate this and I hate this. And I was just like, I don't want to talk about what I hate every day. I want to talk about things that I love and things that I enjoy. And so that's why I enjoy my material. I'm just talking about the things I like.
that you would have stuff that you hate feels strange to me.
That's true. I don't have that. I mean, we all have things we don't enjoy, but I don't have too many things that I'm just like, I've never really been that cranky of a person.
Do you have enemies?
Sure. Well, I'm sure I do have some people who don't like me.
Uh-huh,
but I don't really think about them, so I don't know. But I'm sure I do. I'm sure maybe my ex-wife, she doesn't seem to like me. Mm-hmm. So yeah. There's that.
Okay, but you make it work.
Yeah, of course.
Does she live here in
LA? No, she's still in Oregon. That's how we make it work.
Oh, okay.
But she's not near here.
Uh-huh, all right. And how old is your son? Like
40? He's 12.
12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Can he fly himself?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, we usually usually fly with him, but he can.
Yeah, cool. Have you gone overseas much?
I just got back. I spent 2 weeks. I was in Paris and Italy and then Amsterdam.
How did you like it?
I liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Liked it a lot. It was fun.
Did you do shows or just
no,
vacation?
No, just vacation.
Ah,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Amsterdam was my favorite.
Why is that?
Just very friendly people, very yeah. cute, very
it's
relaxed.
A really small town.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. Did you get to go to coffee shops?
Mm-hmm.
How yeah. was the pot compared to here?
I was hoping that it would blow me away, but it was very similar. Nothing that I can't get here.
No.
But it was a lot of fun, and it was a different atmosphere. I still feel here. Like, even when you can legally smoke, like, people are still kind of like, oh, that guy's a pothead, or, you know, they use it for an excuse. If you're like, oh, you're 5 minutes late, you must have been smoking pot. And I feel like, I like it there that it's, like, just very relaxed and just nobody looks down upon you for doing that type of stuff.
So for the record, you were 15 minutes early.
I was.
Yeah. But how did you like the food?
I loved it there. It was great. It was really great food. Great produce, great cheeses and meats. I loved it. I had a great time. I want to go back.
And Italy, not that impressed or?
I liked it. It was really pretty.
Where were you?
I went to Florence in Venice.
Yeah, okay.
You know, but it was just so touristy and yeah. small in Venice. I liked Florence. It was fun. It was really good food. I liked it a lot.
Yeah. I guess you sort of hit the peak of tourist season as well.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's always like that in Venice.
I think so.
I've never been.
Like that's like all what it's all about. It's just about tourists there.
Yeah. All right. But anyway, now you've been living here for 3 years. Your life has changed a lot mm-hmm. over these 3 years. What would you say is the biggest difference?
Probably. I'm just not as afraid anymore that I'm going to have to leave and that I'm not going to be able to do comedy. That's been the biggest thing
uh-huh.
is that getting, you know, a couple of jobs and stuff give me the confidence to be like, oh, I can push this as far as I want to try to push it. And so I'm just trying to act more and more and just do more acting classes and just really try to relax and have fun and just enjoy the whole journey of it instead of before it was about like, oh, I gotta get on TV. I have to get on TV. So if I get on TV, then they'll let me do shows on the road and then I won't be poor and I won't have to get another job. But now it's just like, oh, we'll be okay. We'll be relaxed. Let's just work on trying to be the best comedian that we can be. And I like that feeling a lot better.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
But I interviewed Todd Barry perhaps a year back, and he told me that, I mean, for him, he's one of the most successful comedians in the US, right? He still does like 7 gigs in New York a night. Mm-hmm. Is it the same for you, but here in LA?
I mean, I wouldn't say that many. Mostly I have my son, and so he would not like that. But it really just, I mean, it's just like I love doing comedy. So it's like, yeah, I try to get up as much as possible, whether I'm working on the show or not. You know, if I'm working on the show, then I'll just go up at the Comedy Store at night, or if not, then I'll go out on the road. I think it's really helpful and gives you more of a sense of security to know that I'm not reliant on a television show or something to make sure that I get paid. I have a skill that I can do, like I can do stand up no matter what. I think that's nice. That's what we talk about, like the other stand ups on the show, which is nice to know that, like, oh, I can, even when we're on hiatus and stuff, I can still go make money on the road. I don't have to worry about whether the show is going to come back or not. And that's nice. That's relaxing.
Yeah. Is the show in syndication?
Not yet. Hopefully soon. Hopefully yeah. We'll make it.
And that's sort of the, I just learned about syndication, actually, because that would make you sort of relax even more.
Yeah, that would be the coolest. Yeah. Because yeah. You'd know, oh, there's money coming. Because now it's just like, oh, there's money coming in now. But if you're in syndication, you'll be like, oh, there's going to be money always coming in. And so that would be great.
Is it really always?
I mean, not forever, but for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, fingers crossed.
Thank you.
Hope you make it.
Me too.
Would you say that LA has a good climate for comedians?
Yeah, I think it's a great place to, I mean, it's not the easiest place because there's a lot of entertainment options. So people aren't as excited to see you as they would be in a small town. But I like that in a way. I like that having a place where people are kind of indifferent and I can just go about working on what I want to work on and just trying things out. I like LA for that. I like San Francisco, Seattle, New York, Denver.
Those Denver.
Great, yeah.
Okay. When you first came here, did you know anyone here?
Just a few friends. I had a couple friends that moved here from Oregon.
Okay.
That were here. So it was nice to have them here.
In comedy as well?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I had a few friends and then just friends that I had opened for on the road or things like that, that were really helpful to me, like, Nick Kroll and, Moshe Kasher and, John Daly and just a lot of nice people who were really helpful when I first moved here.
At what point did you get an agent and so forth?
I had like a manager before I left.
Okay.
From doing the Conan and doing Montreal. So it was just about doing a lot of auditions, and then when I got a first couple of gigs, then I got a different agent.
Do you feel economically relaxed right now?
No, because there's things I want to do. I want to get a house. I want to have a home for my son instead of an apartment.
So you're renting an apartment now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not stressing, but I'm not relaxed. I'm very aware that I have a goal and that some, which is helping me not spend things, frivolously. There it is. There's that word.
Yeah.
And so it's just, you know, right now, just focus, trying to get as many gigs as I can and as many opportunities as I can and just trying to get better at comedy. Not really worried about money, but just also have goals.
You don't spend money.
I try not to. I mean, I don't try to be a miser. You know, I went on a vacation. But that's, you know, I have like a Jetta and I have a little apartment and we don't really go out to eat that often. We don't really do things like that. But every now and then I'll go on a vacation or things like that. But other than that, I'm just trying to save and make sure that we always have Cheerios.
Which part of the city do you live in?
I live like 20 minutes from here. I live in Hollywood, but on the east side.
All right. This is a big question, but what's your biggest problem?
What's my biggest problem? Sometimes self-confidence, probably. Mm. I don't think I can do things. Sometimes I feel like, I feel like that's my biggest issue. Isn't that sometimes I'm like, oh, how could I ever do this? How could I ever do that? But then I'm like, oh, you can do it. You have friends who've done it. You have people that you know that, I mean, not to put them down, but you're like, you're just as smart as this person. You can do it. And sometimes I have to, like, even with crowds, like if I haven't done stand up in a while, like I meet sometimes a hard crowd, and then I'll be like, no, I'm good at comedy. You were wrong. I'm right. But until then, I'm just like kind of meek about it, you know? Mm. So sometimes I need to just be more, focused and, confident.
Why do you lack in confidence?
I just think that's not how I was raised. I wasn't, you know, some people, that's how they're taught, you know, to be like, hey, you're great, you're the best. And that's just, it's not how I was raised. And I didn't have that instilled in me. So I just didn't have it. And I have to, it's been a battle to learn how, and that's, again, the thing with the money, to not make it be fake, but it is helpful when having some money to be like, oh, you're okay, you're good, you've accomplished things. Clearly, you have some money, so you have to at least have some confidence in your abilities. So that's been helpful with that.
And people want you on television.
Yeah. And it's not, and before it was just like, it would be like, oh, why is there? They're going to figure out that I'm a phony, and then they're going to not want me anymore. And then now, and I just think it's also, I wasn't in a good relationship, and that was probably the feeling that I was getting at home.
You say that you weren't raised to think that you could do stuff and you didn't have confidence at home. But as a parent, have you sort of broken that chain?
Yeah, absolutely. I always, whenever my son's about to go to bed, I always try to do a little mantra for him. To be like, hey, you're cool, you're smart, you're kind, you're awesome. I always know that.
That's wonderful. You seem to be a mantra guy. I heard you
talk. I love mantras. Yeah.
Do you have more mantras than going on stage and your son?
No, I just do that. And then I have my vision board that I keep above my bed. And you know what that is?
Yeah, I do. But what's in there?
Just a lot of things that I accomplished this year. I had that I wanted to go to Amsterdam. I had that I wanted Undateable to get a season 3.
It did.
I had
that. Congratulations.
Thank you. That I want to, I want to write my own show, which I'm in the process of hopefully doing.
Oh, that's great. And how far have you come?
I'm just still writing it, and I have a production company attached to it, but we haven't sold it or anything of that.
All right.
Yeah.
What's that going to be?
It's probably going to be about a cartoon about wrestling, because I love wrestling so much.
Uh-huh. All right.
So it'll be about wrestling in the 1980s.
All right.
So
a cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
So animated.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not going to be the Ron Funches show.
Not yet. I'm still working on Undateable, so I have to pick and choose the things that I do. I can't do another like show like that yet.
Oh, okay, all right. But would you like to do something like?
I'd like that.
Louis.
Yeah, I mean, not necessarily Louis, but definitely something like that. Yeah, something about me and my son, perhaps. I would definitely like to do that.
Would you like him to play in it, or would you have an actor to play him?
It depends on his demands, how much money he wants. If he's cheap, we'll let him play.
Yeah. You said somewhere that you sometimes yell at yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. I mean, I don't really much lately. I'm not really yelling at myself. At myself? Not really lately.
Okay.
I'm feeling pretty confident and positive lately. And then kind of got rid of that because I feel like that didn't serve me well.
That's good.
Yeah.
When do you feel vulnerable?
A lot of times, you know, there's just so many hours in a day. So sometimes I'm feeling really confident and excited. And then the next day I feel like I'm never going to accomplish the things that I want to accomplish. I just try to stay even keeled through all of it, though. But, I mean, every day I feel a little bit like, I don't know.
The vision board, is it a yearly thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, you do one every
New Year's Eve. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's what I usually do every New Year's Eve.
All right. And is there a little house in there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that has to stay until next year? Or?
Maybe.
Okay.
But that's okay.
Yeah. So that's how it works. I've never done one.
Yeah, you just write down your, you know, and it's, you know, short-term goals, long-term goals, just something that I can look at, you know, when I would get up in the morning and remind myself, you know, to move closer towards those goals. You know, I've been trying to lose weight, so I have that on there, and then it's helpful. Like, for if I'm like, oh, do I want to go do something? I'm like, well, is that going to get me closer to my goals or not? You know, so it's really helpful. I like it. I like having using it.
It's fantastic. You seem to be a very wise person.
I would never say that.
Okay. Do you think that you're going to be acting more in the future, or is it?
I think so. Yeah.
You are a comedian that are acting sometimes.
Yes.
And are you ever going to be like an actor / comedian, like 50-50, or?
I feel, I can see that. I can see that just because of my son. Yeah. Cause he doesn't like me traveling that much. So I can see me doing more acting and doing comedy. Never less than 50-50, but 50-50 is fine. I would never stop doing stand-up, but I love acting, and I didn't know I would, but I love it a lot. But
can I ask you, I mean, you have been very open about your son as well, and him having autism, is that how you say it?
Yes, sir.
you don't have to call me sir, you can call me Christopher. No, but I'm not sure that I know that much about autism, but will he be able to live by himself?
I don't know, and that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
So I hope so. I'd never give up that hope. He's very independent, but I don't know.
Okay.
So I have to work like he will always need help, and just hope that he won't.
Okay. Does he go to a regular school?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. He goes to a regular school, but he goes to like a small class that has AIDS.
Right. I talked to Margaret Cho about her outlook on the future when it comes to, because she's been talking a lot about racism in her comedy and of LGBT rights and so forth. And I'm thinking, do you think you're going to live to see an America without racism?
No, of course not. I don't think so. It doesn't seem like something that'll happen. It's really getting better. And then it's fun to see. Cause even like the reaction to like where there's people who are getting murdered in cop custody and things of that nature. But that's a thing that's happened for a long, long time, you know, but people didn't really know about it and get upset about it.
Until people started filming it with their cell phones.
Yeah.
And we had the Ferguson anniversary. No, you don't say.
Recently.
Yeah, like 2 days ago or something.
Yeah. So that's nice to see that change. I feel like that sometimes people can look at that as a negative, but I think that's a positive that people are getting so upset by those things. And instead of turning a blind eye to them, because it wasn't that long ago where like lynching was a public affair here, you know, that was a town sport. Mm. So to go from that into like, you know, that was like, you know, 30s and 40s and 20s, and that's not that long ago, you know, and to now where people are upset when they see that's a great progress to me. So will it ever end? I don't see that. As long as people are separate in ways, you'll always be like, oh, you know, because as long as there's areas where like I only grew up around black people or I only grew up around white people, there'll always be people who are scared by something different. But I think it just gets better and better, and the internet, and I mean, the fact that you and I are sitting here and you live, you know, in a whole different side of the world. But because of the internet, you know, we're chatting together. So I feel like things are headed towards a beautiful area.
I have to say, though, that we are in the same room if someone thinks that we aren't.
We are very much in the same room. Well, you took a long flight to get here.
Yeah, I did. Maybe in 200 years, if man is still around, I would hope that there aren't any races anymore. We would all blend.
It definitely seems to be an old people thing. It's not. I mean, there are new young races, but it definitely seems more of an old person thing.
Yeah.
So hopefully, the further we go, there'll be less and less racist people.
But you don't think that you're going to live to see that day?
Probably not, but who knows? Carl Sagan thought he'd live to see marijuana be legal, and he didn't.
Yeah. So. We talked earlier about hatred and being angry and so forth. As I base my feelings about you on your public persona, it feels sort of strange that you would be angry at times.
Yeah,
but I know. But does it happen?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
I'm a regular person. So yeah, I get angry sometimes, for sure. I get frustrated, usually when people aren't being mean. I don't like it.
Oh, this is my super interesting follow-up question.
Okay.
When did you experience racism last time?
The last time I was in Italy, when I was going, I went for a jog, and I was coming back to my hotel, and I had my headphones on, and probably looking sweaty and not looking all put together, and so I try to go up to my room to get dressed, and the door guy stops me, and he's like, "Hey, can I help you?" And I just, you know, have my headphones on, and I'm just like, "No, I'm fine." And then he, like, blocks me, and is like, "Can I help you?" And I was just like, "Oh, you don't think that I stay here?" And then I was like, and then I just shoot him off, and I was like, "No, like, I'm fine. I'm going to my room." And so it's just, you know, little things like that. It's been a long time since it's been like someone stopped me from doing anything. But there's always like different door guys or different things where you're just always like, oh, you're always there to remind me that you don't think I belong here.
Mm.
And that's annoying, but that's not the biggest deal in the world. So
have you been discussing the token black guy aspect of your undateable
not particularly. I don't think so. Just because I don't ever really look at it like that. I mean, there's like six main people, like, unless it's like a black show, there's not usually going to be like three black people and three white people, or two blacks, two Mexicans, two whites. It's like, it's just kind of how they cast those shows.
Yeah.
So it's, I wish it was a little bit different, but I've never, I'm like, oh, I'm the black guy who's representing black people on the show. I'm like, I'm just doing me. I'm being me.
Yeah. It says on your IMDb page that you have some stuff coming up.
Okay.
Can you talk about that?
Sure. I think I'm in a movie called Killing Hasselhoff.
You're not sure?
I'm not sure, because my scenes are very much tied to Hulk Hogan, and they might cut him out the movie.
Uh-huh.
And if they cut him out the movie, they might cut me out the movie.
Oh.
So.
All right.
I'm not being that. We'll see. And then I did a small part in a film called Going Under with Bruce Willis.
How was that?
It was really fun. He was very nice, and I got to be a transsexual prostitute and shave a lot of things that I'd never shaved before.
Oh, wow.
So it was fun. It was a fun experience.
Yeah. Someone told me, did you get to shave your legs?
Mm-hmm.
Someone told me that when you have shaved your legs and put on pants, it's like the most wonderful feeling
ever.
It
is a great feeling.
It is. All right.
It is a great feeling. It's surprisingly how good shaved legs can feel just walking around. I recommend it. Just try it out.
Has it become a habit for you?
No, just because it was too much of an effort. That's what I don't get, ladies. All that effort.
Yeah.
But if it was easier, I'd probably keep doing it.
Yeah, you can wax them.
That sounds painful.
Yeah, I guess it is. But people that are into bicycling, they seem to sort of shave
their legs. Yeah. Swimmers.
Yeah. So that's what you have coming up. And how about the new season of Undateable?
Yeah.
Have you shot it?
No, because it's going to be all live. So we're not going to. It's going to be airing live, shooting live, everything's live. So October 9th, Fridays at 8 will be our new season.
Okay, so how does that work then? When do you start sort of?
We'll start doing, like, we'll just start rehearsing the week before, and then we'll shoot it that day, and we'll just keep going.
You rehearse for a week, and then you shoot it, and then you go home, and then it's just starts again.
Exactly.
Okay, that sounds intense.
It's gonna be intense.
Yeah.
Which is why I took a vacation.
Yeah. Okay.
To get ready for it.
Yeah. So can Undateable fans expect something new?
I just think you're gonna, yeah. I mean, it's gonna be a lot of more musical guests. It's gonna be a little bit different. There's gonna be a lot of fun social media things to it. It's gonna be a weird show. Mm. It's gonna be weird and fun, which is what we like to do. So, just look forward to that.
Cool. Would you like to recommend something?
Sure. What?
Whatever.
While you're here in LA?
Well, to the listeners.
Oh, to the listeners. Just recommend that they just, you know, just love themselves, enjoy themselves, not be too hard on themselves just when you make a mistake or two. So I feel like that's what happens, you know, because I know I do make a mistake and I'm like, and then I pile it on. And then the next thing I know, I'm drinking a whole six pack of soda or something. And you just go like, hey, sometimes you make mistakes. Relax. I'm still a great person. You're great. And just love yourself. And then you'll find someone else that also love you. And then just really just go out and try to do the things that you really enjoy. That's it.
Thank you. That's wonderful. How do you get to love yourself more?
I think by being forgiving of yourself and relaxing of yourself and just being like, everybody makes mistakes. And I think that's when you love yourself more, when you're not so critical of yourself.
We've been sort of touching base with it, but what would you like to do more in the future? There is a house. There is a show.
I want to get a house. I want to get a house that my friends come hang out with, and that my son has a nice room, and maybe my girlfriend lives there too. She can. She's nice. And I just want to get better at acting. I want to do some lead roles in some things, and then I just want to do like a comedy special. And that would be great. And then I'll reassess from there.
I'm sure that you will accomplish all of those things as long as you have them on your vision board.
Thank you.
Who do you think I should interview?
Who should you interview? Who would be fun? Do you know Rory Scovel?
No.
He's a fun guy. You might want to interview him. He's a new dad and he's very funny.
Oh, I think he was in Sarah Silverman in the same show as you.
I think so.
So, thank you for that.
Thank you.
Now I'm just going to take a few pictures and then you'll be out of here.
Okay.
So, good people of the world, that was Ron Funches. If you want to know more about him, you'll find him on Twitter as well as Instagram. His name is Ron Funches there. Currently, he's starring in the NBC sitcom Powerless, which premiered in February 2017. And you can reach me at VarvetPod on both Twitter and Instagram. I'm not sure I'm super active there, but anyway. And editors for this show was in 2015, Lovisa Olsson, and in 2017, Thomas Kulshage. That's all for this time, but you never know when a new episode of Varvet International might come out. So keep subscribing, please. This is Christoph Triumph saying bye-bye for now.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.